Hey everybody, this is Sophie. Welcome to episode 65 of the Big Boo Cast. Melanie and I are going to talk in just a minute about some of the stuff we always talk about. We're going to answer some of your questions that you left after the last podcast. And about halfway through, we're going to talk to one of our very favorite people, one of our very favorite writers, and to somebody who really has had just an enormous impact on both of our lives. Beth Moore is going to join us, and we'll be talking about real life. We're going to be talking about her hair, which I feel like will really encourage you. And we're going to be talking about her new book, The Undoing of Saint Sylvanus. And just as a reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and then you can also visit our blogs. Melanie's is thebigmamablog.com, and mine is boomama.net. We love y'all and are so grateful that you're here with us today. Here's episode 65. Everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
It's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And this is a very special podcast.
Yes, it is. We have a very special guest.
Very special guest ahead. But first, we thought, okay, well, let's just get this out of the way. So, what? Melanie is speaking today in Gunnersville, Alabama.
That's right.
I'm going to Nashville today for Dot Mom.
That's right.
So, late yesterday afternoon, I drove to Gunnersville. So we're actually in the same place right now. But
yes, we are. A floor apart.
We're a floor apart because we thought we were going to get to podcast in the same room. And then we realized that we couldn't because of feedback and echoes and whatnot. So I am in room 310 of the Hampton Inn in Gunnersville, Alabama. And Melanie is in room 401. And we are podcasting.
That's right.
Nerds that we are.
Yep, because why would we want to go sit and have a cup of coffee together when we can just podcast from our own individual rooms?
Yes, with our own personalized thermostat settings.
Yes, but we did have a delightful dinner last night
at the
Rock House Eatery in Gunnersville. If you're ever here, I highly recommend it. And it's a beautiful, like this whole place is beautiful.
Yes, if you have never been to Gunnersville. Maybe you haven't even been to Alabama, but it's just about an hour from either Birmingham or Huntsville. And it is such a gorgeous little spot with just the biggest lake you can imagine and just the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. And it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's that. So we're here and then I have my speaking thing and then I'll be back in San Antonio by tonight.
Mm-hmm. And I'm headed to Nashville in just a little bit.
Yep, so there you go.
Okay, so we thought we would do, before special guest arrives, we thought we would do some questions
that y'all
left and just kind of randomly pick from that assortment. So the first thing that Melanie, a lot of people wanted to know, and when I say a lot, I mean upwards of three.
Well, usually that's about a lot.
That's how it goes. Wanted to know more about the ribs that you made, that you were flipping on the last podcast.
Okay, there's not really much more to tell.
the story of the ribs has been fully told.
From the dawn of time, man has often slaughtered a pig to eat ribs. They're pork ribs. They are baby. I buy the baby back ribs.
Okay.
I get the natural pork or whatever because I try to get the one that's not going to be all, you know, hormoned up.
Right.
And that's it. And so you buy those and then the recipe, I think you link to it, that Carl's Bad Cravings or whatever. And you just do a rub on them and then I put them in the Dutch oven and you cook them and they're delicious.
Okay.
That's it. They're, I mean, I serve them with usually mac and cheese and a salad.
Okay.
So, but I highly, they're not as good as ribs on the grill. Let me just clarify that. I mean, because you don't get that smoky grill flavor, but they're good weeknight ribs.
Okay.
So,
good when people, you need a quick meal or a quickish meal.
Yes, or to do something, because, you know, I'm always trying to find stuff, because with our schedule now, it's so hard to figure out when to cook dinner. And so I'm always looking for stuff I can put in some sort of slow cooker, Dutch oven. And I would love to do soups, but number one, my people don't really think soup is a legitimate meal most of the time. And number two, when it's 100 degrees outside, you don't want to eat soup.
Well,
or I don't.
No, I don't either. I don't either. That does not sound appetizing or delicious.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've done the pulled pork to death. I mean, so I've just, the ribs were me trying to do something different. And so they're good. I highly recommend them.
Okay. Now, the other thing that came up a couple of times was that when we recorded the last podcast, you had been to SEC Nation for the A&M game, but we did not talk about it. So.
Oh, okay.
So, we have a recap of that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really, I mean, it was behind the scenes. And so we went, and it's a huge production. I mean, I think that's what struck me is, like, I mean, the area that they had roped off, which, you know, if you're not familiar with A&M, you can't appreciate it, but it was like the whole corner of Spence Park, which is a pretty significant area. And so we could see them up on their little stage. Now, what struck me is, you know, I thought maybe Tim Tebow and I might get to chat it up in between segments, you know, as you do. But they stay up on that set the entire time. Like, they never walk off that set the entire 2 hours of SEC Nation. And just during segments, though, because it was so hot that day, they have like this huge like duck thing that they would go and like blow cold air on them as much as they could to keep them cool.
So, okay, so they would take the duct was in the set and it would blow the cold air on them?
Yep. And so they have air blowing on them, but then they would actually like blow like cold air, and then the makeup artist would come up and like touch them up and stuff in between. So, and
no surprise that my primary concern is how do they stay cool? No surprise there.
But I kept thinking, because I'm like, I mean, especially the guys, I mean, they're in jackets and suits. I mean, the girls can wear sleeveless dresses, you know, or whatever. But I was like, the guys, I don't know how they don't melt, but it's because they have AC kind of in that little situation. So that was that. And then at the end, we got to meet them all. We got to shake their hands. Marcus Spears' hand was like shaking a pillow. It was the most enormous hand I think I've ever shook in my life.
By the way, Marcus Spears, one of my very favorite people to follow on Twitter.
Yes, I agree.
If you like college sports and you like somebody who's not afraid to throw down a word every now and again, like, he is just, I think, from what, I mean, I don't know him, but he is just as endearing and solid, I think, as he can be. So
I agree. And they were all, that's what struck me, is I was like, they had been doing that show for 2 hours. They were miserably hot. I know they'd been in Tennessee 2 days before, because that's the kickoff was the Tennessee game, and they had all been there. And like, they could not have been more gracious, like when we met them, you know, like they really, I know. So, so they were all very, very nice. And so that was it. There really wasn't a lot of, it was just kind of a lot of watching like what they do, you know, just what they do. We got to go on the bus. So we got to like tour the bus, and they had like a candy bar set up that had like M&Ms and Skittles and all this candy. And I was like, look at the candy bar. Cause I mean, it was like 9 a.m. and they said, oh, but that's not for Tim Tebow. He only eats like cucumbers and hummus. So Tim Tebow and I are not on the same diet. Basically is what I'm saying.
He doesn't have any gummy lifesavers.
He did not partake of the gummy lifesavers, but somebody does. So I don't know if that was Paul Feinbaum's candy bar or Marcus Spears, but whoever it is, that's my person on that tour, whoever had the candy bar set up at 9 a.m. So, but the kids had a great time. And for them, it was so fun because it was so many of like A&M's people come through, because they're all like, the Yale leaders were on, and the Aggie dance team was on, and the Aggie hostesses were on, and like Coach Sumlin walked through. So like for the kids, that was really the most fun part, is because they got to like get their picture taken with the Yale leaders, and the Yale leaders all like talk to them, which is so weird to me, because I'm like, oh, look, they're talking to the Yale leaders. And I'm like, well, those Yale leaders are only like 5 years older than our kids.
I know, but it's
which
special.
Is weird.
I know it is weird. Well, I'm so happy that y'all went, and that it was a fun time for all.
It was very fun. That would have been the only thing that would have gotten me to go to the first A&M game of the year, because it is so hot. I mean, it's so dadgum hot.
Did you set your dress on fire when you got home?
I wanted to, but I washed it and I've hung it. I don't know that I'll ever wear it again, though. I just can't. I'll never look at it the same. I felt like that dress went through a lot that day.
All right, you have any questions on your end? I mean, I probably have more.
Well, I have an interesting question, and this is funny because it's very timely, and this is something you don't even know yet. So somebody had asked me if either of us had ever tried the Rodan and Fields Amp Roller. Do you know what that is, the Amp Roller?
No, but I have a feeling I'm about to learn.
It's a little roller. I have read it. It's a little tiny roller that's got little bitty needles, and you're supposed to roll it over your face at night.
You said needles?
It's got little tiny, tiny little needles, like little pinprick kind of things. And so, but you're supposed to roll it over your face because then it's supposed to like stimulate collagen production.
Okay.
And so I say this very, but I have now ordered my first order from Rodan and Fields. So I have drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
And I have ordered it. Here's the deal. There's a 60-day money-back guarantee. And I have not used it yet. It literally came in the day before I left for this trip. And I was like, I don't want to use it. I don't want to use it. And then I didn't want to travel with it. So I was like, I'm just going to wait till I get home.
I don't think you could travel with it, could you?
No, it's like 17 pieces. Okay, it's like, okay. It's a lot of different stuff. So
okay.
Anyway, I bought it. A friend of mine is selling it. But I will say, her skin looks phenomenal right now. And so she is somebody that I legit knew before and like after. And so, so anyway, they have the reverse regimen, I think is what I'm using.
Yes,
Redefine, I think is what I'm using, which is whichever one gets rid of the brown spots. Cause you know, that is my nemesis.
Yes,
that is my whale. So it's brown spots and discoloration. So it's supposed to help with all that. And I mean, hers like totally went away. So I am about to, so I've never used the Amp Roller, but I got all that in a box before I left for Guntersville.
Okay. So it's like when you go home, it's almost like skincare Christmas.
It is.
It's waiting on you.
Well, and it was good timing because I purposely, like I knew I wanted to wait till the fall because summer, I'm just out in the sun too much. And fall is a good time to try a new skincare regimen. And I thought, and I had run out of like all my products at one time. So I was like, well, if I have to order something new, so I might as well give this a try.
Okay.
So stay tuned. I'll let you know.
Listen, I can't wait to hear.
I know. So stay tuned. I feel good about it, but listen, I've been lured in, as we know, by many a skincare promise in the past and been disappointed.
Well, but you know what? It's your eternal optimism that encourages us all. I feel like you never give up. You persevere. You're fighting the good fight. You're running the race. Like, I feel like we could pull in every biblical metaphor and it would apply to you and your skincare.
And my skincare. I know. Well, and then I got here yesterday and I turned on the TV and they were advertising, Dorothy Hamill was advertising some product called Crepe Erase, which is supposed to get rid of the crepey skin. You know how, like, when you get older?
What? By, like, cutting it off? I don't understand. Like, how do you...
No, it's like, they were... And I laughed because I paused on the channel because they were using a piece of, like, dough to show the difference. And I was like, what is this advertisement for? But it was for some Jane Seymour and Dorothy Hamill and somebody else. They were advertising Crepe Erase. And it's supposed to be some cream that you put on and it smooths out that crepey skin that, you know, you get when you get older on your neck and like on your elbows and stuff.
Huh.
$39.95.
Well,
plus shipping and handling. I did not order it because I don't really have crepey skin yet, but I thought that's coming, and I thought I'm going to bookmark creperace.com because when that day comes, I will try that as well.
Well, you know, somebody left us a comment or a question somewhere, and I can't remember if that was, I don't know where it was, but that we had scared her to death about her eyelids.
Oh, okay.
And about what was coming.
Mm.
And I would say that it's just that they start to feel like they get very thin. Would you agree?
Yes, yes. You know, mine have gotten droopy. Mine are the bane of my existence. But I just, there's nothing you can do about that.
Well,
I mean, surgery.
There's something you can do.
There's something you can do about anything. But it just depends on, do you want to go do that?
Well,
I don't.
My mama had, when I don't know, she was probably, I mean, maybe around 65-ish. her eyelids drooped to the point that it was considered a medical condition, like they interfered with her vision, and so she had her eyelids done.
Mm-hmm,
and there's
mm-hmm.
part of me that's like, Lord, if you want to pass that on down, like,
yeah,
Lord, I'm willing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because that's, they get a little droopy, you know? So, and there's really nothing you can do about that. But I've noticed, it's funny because, but the last couple of nights I've looked in the mirror and I've just been like, I've subtly like pulled back. Just, I'm like, it just if I could pull back just a little tiny bit.
Just freshen.
A little tiny bit, and it would get rid of that parentheses by my mouth, you know.
The parentheses by the mouth is the worst.
That is really the worst.
And I also have that either. I have two little crinkles on either, like I have one on either side of my nose that are just, I mean, and I know that somebody would say like, well, that's just from smiling. Well, whatever. I mean, you know, maybe I would have smiled less if I'd have known that was coming.
Amen, sister. I certainly would have smiled less while laying out in the sun. I'd have been white and grumpy had I known.
Dour. I'd have been dour.
That's right.
If I'd have known, I was going to have.
But you can't scowl too much because then that's
a whole other thing.
Mm-mm. So you just have to basically be expressionless. You basically have to look as if you've had Botox before you ever had Botox.
That's right. That's right. Maybe wear a real tight headband all the time.
That's it. I love you so much. I just cannot express my love with a smile for you right now.
I'm so moved by love. But
I cannot. My face does not allow me to show my emotion. So that's the laughing
makes it worse. See, I'm just adding to it when I laugh.
But what are you going to do? I mean, you know, so anyway, I'll keep y'all updated on Rodan and Fields. They suggested that I take a before picture and an after picture. So maybe I'll do that.
If you become a before and after on Facebook, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I'm.
I would never.
Check, please.
Listen, nobody. No, it would be my own personal so that I could show close friends. Like, look at my before and after. I would never become one of those before and after on Facebook. Never.
I mean, listen, if that's how the Lord leads you, I'm just saying that would be something that I would not expect.
No, I think people though, because I feel like a lot of people are like, here's a before. And like, I'm like, well, you still look pretty good in the before, you know?
Yeah. Well, you look good in the before, sister.
Well, I don't know. I'm not interested in doing a before and after. I may do it personally for myself, but just because I'll be interested to know. Because, you know, sometimes I do think that you use that stuff and then all of a sudden you don't realize until somebody actually says, like, hey, your skin looks good. Because I feel like when you look in the mirror, you're like, well, I just look like my same self.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. So sometimes you need somebody to speak a word over your
skin. You do, for sure. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked this is in my comments. They ask if the Babyliss hair dryer that I mentioned a while back,
mm-hmm.
If I was still pleased,
yes,
I would say it's the best thing I've ever bought for myself.
Wow, that is high praise.
Well, I say I bought for myself. I didn't really buy it for myself. It was a Christmas gift from my husband, but it's my favorite thing that I never thought I would spend. You know, I never thought I would be like a higher end hair dryer person. If that makes sense.
Yes.
But I'm gonna tell you that there's a good reason why they may cost a little bit more. I feel like it's so good.
Okay.
I love it so much. For somebody like, you know, I mean, I have to wash and dry my hair every day just about. So for somebody who is constantly drying her hair, who feels like I will not be able to go to heaven until I dry my hair one more time, you know, because I do it so often. It speeds it up so much and it dries so smoothly. Like it just, I love it a bunch. So,
well, that is high praise.
Mm-hmm. I really love it.
Okay. You know, this time of year, I rarely blow dry my hair.
If I didn't blow dry my hair, I don't even know what would happen if I didn't blow dry my hair, except that I think people would gather around me in some kind of prayer circle. Like, they would think, she's clearly going through something very difficult.
She's a before picture.
And they would just, can we just come around for a season of prayer? Because I cannot, my hair is so pitiful if I don't dry it. It is because it's fine, but there's a lot of it. So it becomes really just sort of a frizz that just continues to morph into a shape that is not found in nature. Like it's
Well, because you have shorter hair too, and I think that's the key. That's part of what has always kept me from getting shorter hair is because the times in my life it has been shorter, I realized you have to like actually style it. You have to do something with it.
Now somebody said in my comments, this is Wendy. She said, regarding your crazy schedules with your middle schoolers, you're probably so tired of hearing that the days are long, but the years are short. But she said, enjoy every second. The empty nest is brutal.
Oh,
I'm 9 years in and still not entirely at ease with it. And I think about that sometimes when I'm sitting at football practice for the, what feels like the 49th time in a week.
I know. It's really, I've thought it's going to feel, and I'm same. And I think maybe just because we have one, you realize like you're one and done, you know, like there's no,
nothing
you know, you
don't behind.
There's no buffer kid there. Like you get to, one goes off, but you still got one at home. And I think that like with our weekends, I'm like, I'll be so sad. Like the day Caroline quits playing soccer. Like it dawned on me the other day. I was like, there'll come a day that she won't play soccer anymore, whenever that is. And I was like, I'll be so sad because I really look forward to like going and watching her play and all that stuff. And I thought that'll be weird when that's not a factor.
Yeah. And I think you're the same. I love too. I mean, to me, one of the best parts about Alex in football, or if we're in lacrosse season, it's being with the other families and cheering for those other kids. And I think that, you know, I guess sometimes I was watching a group of them yesterday come down the hall, and I thought, you know, there's just a point where you realize that they're so sort of a part of your day-to-day, and they're so, I don't know, it's a weird thing to think about moving into a phase of life where those kids aren't somehow a part of what's going on in the day-to-day. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
I saw a friend whose last child went off to college, her third, last week. And I was like, how are y'all doing? And she said, I'll cry right now if I talk about it. You know what I mean? Because, like, I've seen them at football games and basketball games and all that kind of stuff really for 10 years. And then suddenly, like, they're all either at college or out of college. And she said it was a really tough transition. So hang in there, empty nesters.
I know. I get it. I dread the day. I really do. Like I think about that with Caroline, like eighth grade, because I'm already like, I think, well, it's almost October of eighth grade, you know, and then it's that thing of I'm like, by next year, we'll be counting down to high school. I'm like, that's just weird.
And that high school bit is going to fly.
Oh, that's what everybody says. And I feel like everybody told me that when school started. Like, I drove by our elementary school the other day, and I was like, I cannot believe that 5 years, like, it feels like we were just there, and we weren't there very long, and that was 5 years.
Well, we were talking last night about the fact that when we met, they were three.
Yeah, which is just they were three. Crazy. I just can't even believe it. I know. And now here they are, these our little teenagers.
Well, we're going to have to quit recording and just get in the bed. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to do.
I haven't even had my coffee yet this morning.
I have had something that they call coffee. I don't know if I think it's actually coffee.
I know. I need to have something that they, even something that they call coffee.
Yes.
If I'm going to talk about my child leaving for college, then that's for sure. Now, one last question I had.
Okay, good. Let's turn it around.
Okay, I know. We got to think of something. Let's
pull it out of the ditch.
We're going to go real deep. Somebody was asking if we have a favorite hand moisturizer, and I know that we do.
We do. And it's actually my favorite of all. Melanie, you want to?
Sure, I'll say it. So my friend Debbie has a line, and I've talked about it on my blog, and I know you've talked about it on your blog, but it's called Hummingbird Farms, and it's their lavender lotion. And it is, they actually have two, but the lavender is my personal favorite. It is the best stuff I've ever used. Like we can't keep it in the house. Perry uses it. I use it. I used to use it on Caroline when she had diaper rash because it's like aloe based. And so it's super moisturizing and it smells like a dream. It's the best stuff ever.
And I really like, because I mean, I think as I break down on the last podcast, I've had all this weird skin stuff. I love the heavy cream. Like there's a lotion and then there's a heavy cream that comes in, almost, it looks like a shaving cream can, but it's lotion. I keep it at school. Like I keep it on my desk and girls come in and use it all day. But it's super thick, and I will say, like, there's stuff that the dermatologist has recommended that will cause, like, I have a reaction to, but I do not to the Hummingbird Farm stuff. Like, it is pure gold, in my opinion.
It is. And it's, I mean, and here's the thing is, I think people are like, well, it's a little pricey, and yes, in a little bit, but not compared to, like, I mean, I have some philosophy cream that I use sometimes, and it's more expensive and it does not last me as long. That Hummingbird Farms is so thick, but not too thick, but it lasts, to me, a bottle lasts you a good long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It's mm-hmm. the best. It's
so,
the best.
But Debbie's been on QVC, and then you can also find it if you just Hummingbird Farms lavender. You can find it there too, but it's my favorite.
And they also have, now they have shampoo and conditioner, which is delightful. So I don't know. It's just, it's good stuff. It's the best.
Yeah. It doesn't have a lot of additives and stuff. And you know, they've gotten it in a lot of places, like little bed and breakfasts and stuff all in the Hill Country, which is, to me, totally fits, because it feels like you're, you know, I don't know, all natural.
In a lavender field.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times I don't believe in natural beauty, but when it comes to Hummingbird Farms,
yes,
I do.
Hey,
it smells like real lavender, not fake lavender.
Right. It really is. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
So you're speaking today in Gunnersville, where we are.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm doing a luncheon for the Marshall Medical Center here in, I'm driving on down to Albertville.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So it's about 12 more miles. Okay. So I'm going to Albertville, but apparently I guess there weren't many places to stay in Albertville. So I'm staying in that's why we stayed in Gunnersville.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, and then I'm going on to Nashville for Dot Mom without you, which
I know.
Be a little sad.
Yeah, I'm a little sad. So I'll miss all the Dot Mommers.
And then, I don't know. That's about what we've got going on, I reckon.
Yeah, that's what's happening. So, and then we've got our very special interview coming up.
Yes, a very, very right special interview coming up right after this.
Yeah, stay tuned. After
by the
these
way,
messages.
Stay tuned after these messages. Just one quick thing. Aggies are 3-0.
We have Arkansas this weekend, which is that game makes my stomach hurt maybe more than any game all year, because it's never easy. And we play it in AT&T Stadium in Dallas or whatever, Cowboys Stadium, whatever it's called. And I just hate it. I hate that game. I hate that we play it in Dallas. I hate everything about it.
Okay.
But I'll be watching. I'll be watching.
But she's super excited.
It'll make me so sick, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be so nervous, but I'm going to watch. Who does State play this weekend?
State plays UMass.
Oh, okay. So that's you'll be fine.
Well, I don't know. Ask us after South Alabama. We're playing in Boston. So there it was a big field trip. But that's, you know, Dan Mullen's from up in that New England area. So
gotcha. Okay.
So and then UMass is coming to us next year. I feel like it'll be fine. But anyway, you know, we take nothing for granted. So
no, but y'all came alive against LSU. I mean, that game, nobody gave up. I mean, y'all came right back, and LSU is one of those, you know, so I feel good about y'all. I feel good about it.
I'm going to tell you, I hate playing Arkansas. I hate playing Arkansas because they're such an overtime team, and you know, so many of their games come down to the wire. It's, I feel like you can never relax.
No, you can't. They're scrappy. And the game doesn't even start till 8 o'clock. And I'm like, and that to me is the worst. Cause I'm like, whatever happens, like, unless it's a 48-0 blowout, then I have the whole thing of my adrenaline is just going to be pumping. And then you know how, like, you don't go to bed forever after that. So, cause either I'll have to read everything about how we won or pulled out the win, or I'm gonna have to read about how we lost. And I can't. So anyway, we'll see. I feel like I said this last week against Auburn, but I'm like, I feel like we'll know a lot more about this Aggie team seeing how we do against Arkansas this weekend.
Were y'all playing Arkansas last year when I pulled the car over and pulled it up on the phone?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And remember, you had to leave me. Remember, I couldn't get out of the car.
I went up to the Raymond White State play Auburn, and you had to stay in the car. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because we were waiting for that field goal, and I couldn't leave.
I bet you have a Watch ESPN app on your phone now, don't you?
No, don't you know it? Don't you know it? For such a time as this. But
yes,
it was same weekend because that was Dot Mom last year. Mm-hmm. So, so I really, that game is, you know, I don't know. It stresses me out every year. It's a tough one.
So. So y'all stay tuned. Here comes a special, really the most special of all the guests. Really,
what yes.
you say?
Yeah, the most special of all the guests, and she's going to talk all about her new book.
All right.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Well, I mean, obviously it is a big day for us to have Beth Moore on the podcast. And in all seriousness, nobody has had a bigger impact on Melanie's walk with the Lord, on my walk with the Lord, than Beth Moore. And the fact then that over the last several years, you have just been such a sweet cheerleader and friend and big sister and therapist is really more than we could ask or imagine. So we are beside ourselves about you being with us, and especially beside ourselves about your book, and we are so happy you're here.
The therapist part, you had me at therapist. So that made me laugh out loud. Okay, I've been trying to remember all morning how we and when we first got to know each other. And so this is crazy because honestly, I'm trying to think. I no longer remember life before we all knew each other. So I was trying to think, and it would have had to have been what I am assuming. Mm-hmm. I think I'm right about this. I would need Amanda with me to confirm this, but I am pretty sure that she, very early on when you guys started blogging, I think she was following both of your blogs and then loved that you guys became friends. I think it was through Amanda that I first began connecting with y'all. And then, of course, just like every other woman that reads everything y'all do and listens to every conversation you have, I fell head over heels in love. You two are my kind of people.
Well, you're our kind of person.
Yeah, that's right. That's
no
right.
Doubt. And I think you're right. I think I can remember like Amanda being, she had her blog and we had yes. this little web of comments that we would kind of follow. And then Travis got in on that.
Yes. And then Oh my gosh, I forgot that. He mm-hmm. sure did.
Yes, because Sophie wrote about Angela Cottrell's jeans after going to Deeper Still.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I am now remembering every bit of this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Angela Cottrell's jeans. There mm-hmm. is no telling what started, what relationship. You know you are a mighty woman of God when your jeans can cause relationship.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
If I had known that the jeans were really, like, that was the tip of the iceberg with Angela Cottrell. Like, I had no idea.
No kidding.
That was not jeans. Even beginning to plumb the depths of that one.
No. Plumb the depths.
Mm-mm. That was just the beginning. Those jeans echoed into eternity, their impact. We didn't know.
They did. And you know what's so funny about that is I remember when I left that Deeper Still and I had been so moved by Angela's jeans. I remember calling Melanie because I had seen Travis at the concession stand and I didn't say anything to him because I didn't know him. Like I knew we probably had some people in common, but I didn't know him. And I remember telling Melanie, I should have said something to him. Like I should have said something. And I didn't because it just seemed weird. And then it ended up, he emailed us a couple of weeks later.
Let's just say that y'all made up for lost time.
We did. I mean, I really feel like Travis and I, in some ways, were just separated at birth, really.
Yeah. Yes. He's become all of your brothers.
Yes.
But listen, I'm going to tell you, when Angela gets to heaven and is escorted into her condo and those jeans are just going to be folded right there.
Yes,
just
ma'am.
Folded right there for all of eternity. These were the jeans.
Listen.
Yes. Yes, they started a ripple effect because then mm-hmm. we first met you at Deeper Still Atlanta, which I can't even remember how long ago that was.
I don't remember either.
That was a long 7 time. Years ago, 8 years ago.
Was Amanda was pregnant with Annabeth, I think.
That's right.
Okay, we've only known each other 8 years. Can I simply say that we have put a lot of living into 8 years?
Yes.
Because I can no longer even... There's no counting the text messages that have gone back and forth. None.
No.
None. And what we then went to, because our texts were so long, that we've gone to audio text.
Yes.
Yeah.
you need a voice message, really, to get it all in. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, exactly. So that we can, sometimes they're going to be 3 or 4 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, because there's nobody that I think of more when something absurd happens. It's always when something totally bizarre happens, I'm like, well, Beth needs to know about this.
And just perfect moments, just these perfect moments that you, and Melanie, let's admit it, we have had a support group for many years as wives of very, very strange men.
Yes. Now, when are they going to meet? I need for them to meet. I have needed it for a long time. I need for them to meet. I need for y'all to have a camera above them. I need to watch. No, I need some music in the background, the whole thing.
Music in the background. Music. And it's got to be something from like a Mel Gibson movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I know. They may run off on a boat together and we'd never see them again. That's really the problem. Fun.
They really might, at least for a weekend, and we would just spend it together.
And I'd be okay with that.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I would be okay with that. Do you remember my favorite is that when I had to send you the picture of when Perry shot himself in the head out of the helicopter?
Well, you know, I remember it like it happened yesterday, and I also remember it was surreal because it was like, I don't know whether to laugh or say, Melanie Shankle, you could have just gotten the worst news of your life. I just don't know why these men hang. My husband has hung out of a helicopter just here lately, Melly. Uh-huh. Just here lately. And people may not understand that they're going over there viewing any of this. They're doing land surveys when they do. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it's all very strategic. You have to have the right ratio of these things and that thing.
And seeing how many wild hogs they have on their property.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I never knew that wild hogs were a thing until I met Melanie. And the fact that both your husbands share that, I feel like it's a sign.
I feel like that in itself, that Sophie now knows that wild hogs should be on her radar. I feel like we've done a lot of good with her. We've been an enlightened.
We have. That's what she meant when she said therapist and mentor. It's really been about the wild hogs and the wildlife knowledge she has accrued over these last 10 years.
So let me, I'm going to ask you a book question.
Yeah.
Is this different somehow, like going out with a fiction book than with a Bible study or a nonfiction book? Like, does it feel different to talk to people about it? Because I would think is there a little bit of a buffer there or is it more vulnerable? Which one?
Oh, no, much more vulnerable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At this, unless it's something that, I've had a couple of books that really, really, really were that I nearly felt sick about when they were rolled into press. And you guys know how that.
I believe I have cried on your shoulder before about that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have indeed. And I have cherished it, but I don't think people realize just the humbling experience of letting something go to press and you know it's going to be out in front of people for their opinions and their critique. And
you know,
kind of part of your like your skin is on it. Mm-hmm. Like skin is on, like part of your heart's just hanging on that thing. And so it's vulnerable every time. And then a couple of books, like when Breaking Free came out, I remember, just thinking like, okay, here we go, and just holding on tight and thinking, man, it is out there. And there have been a couple of those. But listen, this was in a whole different league. And really? I discussed this with Liz Curtis Hicks because, of course, fiction is so primary to her.
Yes.
And I said, I am feeling something I cannot even believe. And she really did confirm it. And what I told her, I said, I think it's because they're looking into your imagination. Ooh. You know, with a
book. Yes.
I'm in resources. I have stacks of books on my desk. I'm a student. I love the whole research process. So when a Bible study comes out, yes, you know, it falls back on me. It's mine. If it's not good, that falls in my lap. But I also have done a whole lot of research with a whole lot of people that are a whole lot smarter than me. But then this is your imagination out there.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that was a whole different thing that now you're coming into. If I were to make up a story, what would it be? And now, oh, now we're talking.
But yeah, it's But then here's my question too in that. So this is what we were wondering last night. Had you had these characters in your head? Like, did you sit down and go, I have this story I have to tell? Or did it write as you wrote it?
Oh, absolutely wrote as I wrote it. Golly. All I had to begin with was the place, the spot, this apartment house that this would take place in. That was the first place that I had in mind, and I barely even had that figured out. So I wrote it as I went, but let me tell you now, that is what I love. I even love that about a Bible study journey. I love that I don't know when I get started, that even though I know these are the scriptures that I'm going to study, I don't know what God's going to do with this yet in that series.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love the unfolding of it. In fact, y'all, it wasn't until I was on a walk in the country one day, I have no idea how many words by then, I mean how many chapters by then, but I realized then, I was about 95% done. That day on that walk, it came to me how I wanted to end it. And I am telling you, that is the first I really knew this is going to come to the last page.
I felt some anxiety just then rise up, like that you had done all that and you're just constantly waiting for it. But that's my favorite part too. I love the puzzle of a book. I love the puzzle of it.
I like, you know, I guess I have to admit, it occurred to me over the last day that I love living on the edge of constant risk.
Yes.
To putting it out there and not knowing where it's going to go. And y'all, let me tell you something else too. I could talk about y'all. I could talk about this all day long with y'all, but because this part I found fascinating. I really had intended to make the characters a little bit like certain people that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound so dumb, but the characters sort of insisted on going their own way. They did not turn out to be the people that I expected them to be.
Interesting.
That I was going to pattern them after. Sort of developed in their own way. And then when all was said and done, if you said how many of them are like you thought they would be in the beginning, none. No.
Really? Not even Adela? Adela's not who she, because I felt like she was the strongest. I just loved her so much.
Probably the closest. I patterned her a little bit off of my darling Evangeline, who I dedicated the book to, but I meant for her to be kind of a mixture of me and Evangeline and somebody else that we know and is pretty quirky. But when all was said and done, Adela decided to be her own self, and she wasn't that much like either one of us, but I loved her. I loved her. Y'all, when it was over, because I'd been on it for 3.5 years, I just felt like I felt like I missed them so much.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If you met, like, if one, they became these real kind of people in your head, and then two, if you missed them.
Oh, I did. I was like, man, I've thought about you for, it's like I've lived with you for nearly 4 years. So it was so crazy, y'all. I don't know if I'll ever get to do it again. That's all dependent on the Lord. But I can tell you, I had a heck of a good time.
Oh, okay.
Well,
let me ask you this then about, because Melanie and I talked about this last night too, because Melanie, you know, asked you about the story and if it was in your head. And I was so struck by the place. And maybe, you know, I think that's sort of my Southern soul, loves place. But did you go back to New Orleans and walk around a little bit? Because, I mean, it's its own deal in the book, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely, I did. And so this was from the very beginning. I'd been there many, many times, which is why it had its basis in my heart that I knew. I mean, there's just no place with more culture. There really is.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think there's another city in the United States exactly like it. And so I had been fascinated with it for many, many years, even since I was a in the middle of high school, and we drove through it for the first time and toured some of it. I was not even a naive kid, and my chin just dropped to the ground. Even the fortune tellers on the square, all of that was like, I cannot believe this exists.
Yes.
Fascinated with it. But when, because I have to put myself there. This is true even with a Bible study and any kind of journey like that. I've got to go sit in my mind in that setting and in my imagination if I can't get to it physically. But yes, I had to go. I had to go and I just walked and thought, and then I would go back at night to that bed and breakfast, and I would just pound at that computer. And all through the thing, like, I had a map of the city constantly. I had a city map that I put up on my laptop screen. Like, I have my laptop and then I have my big monitor. Mm-hmm, and so that monitor would have the city on it, so that I could even if I never mentioned the streets, that in my mind I was turning to the left on that street. I was driving down by that park. Those were constant things before me at all times, because I love, you know, remember, I love the research part of any project. So great fun to me.
I love that, because I feel like, I mean, you so captured New Orleans, and you so captured the people of New Orleans too. And so I love that you got down there in the middle of it and just soaked it in.
Well, I love diversity. You know, you'll notice in the pages that the difference in the ethnicities and even the, I love picturing that along that cast of characters, you would go from the very darkest of skin all the way to Bully. And Bully is a figure in it that I picture so blonde that his is red instead of peach. You know, that he just kind of would just blister in the sun, and that he is just so, that he is so white that you need to put on your sunglasses to be. So I wanted every single tone of skin, all the way from just nearly ebony to the whitest fluorescent white you could get.
I love that.
I know. They were such good characters. I feel like I told you, you know, I texted you after I finished. And, you know, first I was so nervous because I wanted to like it so much. And I was nervous about it. I felt like really nervous for you, because it was almost like watching like your child try out for a play, you know, like.
We have talked so much about that, because one of my other friends said the same thing. And, you know, that actually made me feel so loved. I thought, that's good friends. They're going to sit there almost scared to open up. Because they're going to feel for you. You knew that if I embarrassed myself, you were going to feel it with me. And it was going to be, you know, bless her.
Yes.
Jennifer Lyle, she said the same thing. She was just like, I just, you know, thought, oh, is God, has God, I know she's done the Lord's will. This killed me. I know she's done the Lord's will, because I know she seeks the Lord's will. But what if the Lord's will was for her to just go through a really, really humbling and may I add, it could pan out exactly that way. People could just hate it.
No, they're not going to hate it.
They're not going to hate it. And I'm so tickled, because I think anytime I have a book, I'm like, well, this may be what God is going to use to like really sift me.
Yes.
Because it's going to be so horrendous. And you know, Beth, it's like you and I talked about how sometimes before a book comes out, you pray maybe Jesus will come back before this book comes out.
No, I do every time. I did last weekend, on last Friday before the LPL simulcast, Travis and I said, we've looked to the east for weeks. for some glimpse of our Lord, and he is not going to come back because, you know, okay, this is when I'm going to put it out there, and people are going to go, what on the ever loving earth has she done here? But it's just constant, you know. Y'all, please laugh with me when people say to us, how do you stay humble? Please laugh with me.
I will say, listen, that is the easiest part of my life right now. It is almost effortless, I would say.
It's effortless. Staying humble is effortless. when you write and you stand up in front of people. Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes, when somebody emails you and says things like, I got your book, a friend bought it at Half Price Books, and oh, no. I got it.
Oh, no. No, wait, Sophie.
It was a signed copy. She got it at Half Price Books.
Okay, yes. Y'all, listen, Sophie, at one time, some of our stuff was in a bundle. And I'm telling you, it was in a bundle for like $2.99. Sophie, it wasn't going to mail to you at all. It was like, well... Okay,
then. That represents about 6 years of my life. It's for $2.99.
Uh-huh. No, it was our whole compilation. A book of your, a book of mine. I don't know what. $2.99. Okay, y'all.
That makes me so happy. Listen, your text, Melanie and I have talked about this. When you texted me that day to see if I might want to read an advanced copy of this book, is probably my favorite text I've ever gotten.
Okay.
It is. There's never been anything with more disclaimers, more outs, more qualifications. Like, it was the best. That was it.
Oh, gosh. Y'all, it's just hard. I'm going to tell you something. It is hard to live in this head of mine. It is hard. There is so much neuroses in here. I don't know. Honestly, y'all, yes. if they come up with some kind of procedure that they are able to surgically remove neuroses, y'all, I will deflate like a balloon. Like there will be nothing for me. I'll be flat death. It'll just be like an old balloon that's shriveled up. You'll go, what happened to her? Well, they removed her neuroses, and this is what was left.
This is what we had. But maybe those neuroses help give your hair all that good volume. Maybe somehow.
Yes.
Because your hair has never looked better.
Yes.
Y'all, you are kidding me. Well, you know, I decided. Oh, I'm going to tell y'all how that happened.
Okay.
I had the benefit. Please press into this with me. Please picture this to you.
Yes.
Picture.
Yes.
I had the benefit 2 years ago of course, celebrating 20 years with Lifeway of Publishing, which has been, you know, one of the greatest joys of my life. But I had the benefit of seeing 20 years of my pictures.
Oh.
Y'all.
That's rough.
Do you notice that none of us are even laughing right now?
I'm not.
We're in it with you.
It's not
we're
funny.
We're walking in it with
you. Because we know we're pained right now. Mm-hmm. We know we're pained. None of us want to see 20 years of our pictures. And the only thing I could come to at the end of it all was somehow my nose looked smaller with the longer hair.
You know why I'm so tickled? You inspired yourself.
I inspired myself. And not in a good way. And not in a good way. It wasn't a kind of inspiration that felt good coming.
Right.
But it just was the simple truth.
Right.
That I was staring at the evidence right in front of me. And clearly, the hair somewhat balanced the nose.
It's so cute. I mean, like, how do you get the ends to behave like they do? Is that a flat iron situation?
I do flat iron followed up by enough Moroccan oil to cause an oil slick. When I first told my friend Priscilla Shire that she said, now Beth, this is something you're not going to know anything about, but she said, you know, we black women, we use a lot of oil. I said, are you out of your ever-loving mind, Priscilla? Do you think I do not know what hair oil is? I said, do you know how big this hair is when you just go? So, and you know, I have always said that there is a reason why humidity and humility are only one letter difference.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's the truth. That's a good word. That's right. A good word.
It's a good word, Melanie. It's a good word.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it looks darling. It looks really good. I was so concerned for you, too. This is not on the book. I need to know about those pants. Did you know on the simulcast
Melanie,
that those pants were 100% plastic when you put
Melanie,
them on?
Melanie, you know, we're under so much stress when we're about to speak at something. Y'all know we are.
Yes.
It's hard to think about our outfit. Think strictly in terms of what would look cute, not what would feel the best. And it was an untested outfit.
Yes.
What I knew was that I was about to combust.
Yes.
I mean, bust because every light in the entire state of Illinois was shining on that stage on this woman in those plastic pants. It was like I had zipped myself up in a Ziploc bag and was put under the heat. It was like I was on the beach, zipped up in a Ziploc bag. And when I got, it is a wonder I did not take them off in walking down the side of the platform, taking those things off. I threw them. I panted. I'm never wearing those again. And then somehow I got the, so I put my jeans and did not even go with my outfit. I did not care. I could not care less.
They took you to the end of yourself is what they did.
I was broken, Sophie. I was totally broken. And then, I was just like, I'm giving these things away because I'm never looking at them again. But the funniest thing, when I saw the tweets afterwards that said that day, Beth Moore gave away her pants.
People are going to hope that's become a regular LPL thing, that you give away a pair of pants at every end, event.
There's genuine, but there comes a time to say genuine. Yeah. And if it's plastic, if it's genuine plastic, you can't say genuine. Mm-hmm. It's genuine.
Genuine. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Oh, my word. Well, I know you have a thousand things to do. We could talk if you wanted to hang out for the next hour and a half, we could do it. But I know you have stuff.
Well, what we're going to have to do is honestly podcast 2 and podcast 3.
Yes.
An annual event. And because honestly, there's just got to be the update.
Sure. Yes.
Current antics.
Yes. What's going on? How's everybody's hair? Have we had to see 20 years of pictures?
Yeah. And Sophie, I always have to get a hold of Melanie because, you know, we live, unfortunately, we don't want to discuss with you the part of the world you live in because you live in the beautiful part of the world. That has seasons, and this makes me and Melanie mad. But sure. I have to look to Melanie because when it comes to be fall by state of the calendar, not by state of the weather, by state of the calendar, it's November, but it's 98. This is when I have to text Melanie and go, can we wear boots or not?
Yes. No, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I hope you are. It's not fun, but because I know this is about to have to come to an end, I want to tell you something. I've said this to you too so many times, but I want to say it on the air between us. I do not know why God would allow me to be loved by the two of you, but I am so thankful.
Oh, well, we are so beyond thankful for you. I mean, what you have been in our lives, and I know so many women's lives, and just that you, that you laugh with us and that we get to do life with you is just, I know I can speak for Sophie, is one of the greatest blessings. It really is.
To me, and what people might not have pictured, because this has happened with each of you, I have also, you know, when I've needed to speak a word of encouragement and tell you guys, be brave. You've got to be brave. You're going to be brave. You're going to hold your chin up. You're going to put your shoulders back. But that there have been times, you know, when I take on that maternal role, that I've also felt so strongly for your hearts. Most recently, Sophie, and the loss of your mom, and not only just things we've touched base with through the years that were hardships, things that don't come out in front of everybody else, but the times I've said the things that a mother figure and a mentor figure is supposed to say, but that I have set the phone down and wept with tenderness because I knew that these two young women I love so much were going through a hard time, and I was having to say what they needed to hear, but that I also was so moved with compassion and tenderness because I just love the two of you so much. You bring me great joy.
Well, you bring us great joy, Beth Moore. I mean, there's nobody better. I was with a friend last week, and her mama said, if I knew Beth in real life, would I just have all the more reason to love her? And I said, yes, you would. You absolutely would.
That means the world to me. I don't know. It may be that y'all are just terribly partial, but please, please be partial to me forever.
We are partial forever.
forever. We love you so much.
I love y'all too. Thank you so much.
Right, you're thanks, so Beth. Welcome. Have a great day, Beth.
Okay, we love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye. That was so fun.
That's a good time. So Beth's new book is called The Undoing of Saint Silvanus, and it is available at any of your major booksellers. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Lifeway. You can just at the store of your choosing, you can find it. And it really is. It's, I think I said this earlier this week, but I love her writing voice so much. And it's so fun to see that voice in fiction. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, it really is. And the characters, I mean, it is such a good story. It's written so well. I just feel like the whole thing is just so beautifully told. And those characters, I mean, I finished it 3 weeks ago, and like, I can't quit thinking about the characters. Like, they really have stayed in my heart. I highly recommend it.
And we talked last night about the fact that the faith aspect of it doesn't feel like something that was just kind of, it doesn't feel like it was sort of thrown over it. It's just woven in it. Just real mm-hmm. life. Just like real
yeah.
life.
Yeah, it feels like real life. It's just kind of part of their story. So just part of their day-to-day life. So I love that. It's a good book. I give it 2 thumbs up.
2 thumbs up.
2 thumbs up.
Alrighty, so this concludes the podcast where we got to talk to Beth Moore.
Okay, all right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, we'll talk to y'all later.
Well, no one more surprised than us that Tyndale considered us an official interview source.
Listen, we've never felt more legitimate in our whole lives. I mean,
truly legit. It was so funny. I could not wait.
Well,
and then there were two. I could fall on the bed and cry now.
I could too. I could bawl my eyes out. That was a normal Thursday. That was standard.
Just, you know, I didn't yawn one time.
You didn't yawn one time. Well, that was so fun.
It was so fun. Golly. I just love her so much.
The best.